In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
There is an expression which says, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's usually used in a context when someone is overreacting to something, when some small occurrence is causing that person great distress. And certainly when it's used in that context, it's an appropriate reminder for us. However, I'm not sure that I would take that expression and apply it in every context. In fact, some of the small things in life really matter a great deal. In spiritual growth, the small stuff actually becomes building blocks for us. Small things like saying a prayer before starting a task. Small things like saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Small things like giving thanks to God for the blessings in our life. Small things like these and thousands more go a long way. Our thinking is often turned upside down in this regard. We often think that the small stuff just doesn't matter that much. We think that we should devote all of our attention and our energy towards the big stuff. But if we're really honest and we really consider our life, the big stuff doesn't come around every day, does it? The really big stuff in life doesn't even necessarily come around each week. And so having this kind of strategy is actually a misguided one, because what happens is each and every day we miss those daily opportunities to do good because we dismiss those opportunities as small and insignificant. We miss opportunities to embrace grace and to take steps towards change. Yes, they may be small steps, but those small steps accumulate and really bring greater change. See, real change happens in our lives when we begin to take the small steps each day. When we take those baby steps, we are coming closer and closer to the goal. We need to be reminded that Jesus himself said, if we are faithful in the small things, we will also be faithful in the great things. And he also turned that around and said the inverse was true, that if we're careless in the small stuff, we'll also be careless in the great things. So we need to understand that the little things, to an extent, indicate the condition of our hearts. We must understand this, that the little things don't get through to a hard heart, but neither do the great things. Today we hear the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and perhaps it is a great illustration of this principle, of this truth. It certainly delivers some powerful images for us. Perhaps the most powerful line is that closing statement where we hear Father Abraham say, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. We can hear that and it can seem so strange to our ears sometimes. Because how could someone not be convinced if somebody rose from the dead? How could they not be convinced in the face of such a huge and awesome miracle? It doesn't make sense from our vantage point, but it is true. Simply put, they would not be convinced because their hearts were hard. And when a heart is hard, nothing big and nothing small gets through to it. And in fact, if we consider the narrative of the scripture, we recognize this is nothing new. This is the case from the beginning, down through the ages. Consider the time of Exodus and the life of Moses as Moses comes to Pharaoh and he asks for his people to go. And Pharaoh says no. And he says, plagues are going to come upon you if you say no. And he still says no. And what happens? Plague after plague after plague. And still, Pharaoh says no. Why? Because his heart was hard. Elijah prays to God on Mount Carmel in a power encounter with the false prophets of Baal. And in this encounter, they're calling upon God, and the true God is going to answer with fire from heaven. And of course, we know the story that God answers Elijah's prayer, and fire comes from heaven and consumes the offering that has been offered. And after it's all said and done, the evil queen Jezebel, who had propped up these evil prophets throughout Israel, does she repent? Fire comes from heaven, and does she repent? No, she's furious and she seeks to kill Elijah. Why? Because her heart is hard. Consider the life of Christ himself and his ministry. Time and time again, he performs miracle after miracle, and do those miracles convince people? Well, sometimes, if their hearts are inclined towards repentance, yes, it had a positive effect. But again and again, we see Jesus do miracles, and people question if it's a miracle, if it's a trick, if it's done by the power of demons. There's all kinds of things that go on. We recognize that those who had hard hearts in the face of the miracle of Christ, what happened? Their heart grew even harder. Even when Jesus raises Lazarus in the Gospel of John from the dead on the fourth day of his being in that state, still, what happens? Those who had hard hearts did not believe. In fact, they sought to kill Lazarus because through the story of Lazarus being raised, others were coming to believe. So despite the fact it may be troubling to us, despite the fact it may be hard for us to accept, there is great wisdom in that concluding verse of the parable. You see, we need to understand the greater context is this rich man had a hard heart. And so did his five brothers. They had a small thing that was before them each and every day of their life. Moses and the prophets, the teaching and the proclamation of the scripture was there before them. And if they couldn't respond to the small grace that was before them each day, the grace that was offered through the teaching of the scripture, how could they respond to that greater grace and a miracle was before them? If they rejected God in hundreds of small ways each and every day, how could they then find the grace to open their heart to a great thing that happened before them? Though we hate to admit it, it's simply not how things work spiritually. If we close our hearts to 100 different small things, then what in fact we are doing is we're training our heart to be closed. It's being reinforced to close our heart again and again and again in these small ways. And before long, our heart has just become hard and closed because we've trained it to be such. Because it's been so close to so many times, so many other opportunities, we simply cannot open it when those great moments and those great opportunities of grace are before us. There's another expression that says, don't make mountains out of molehills. Sometimes I'm afraid we do just that. We make mountains out of molehills. And often it's used in a context where we're taking something small and we're blowing it out of proportion, and it's really something in the world of our fantasy that we fail to see reality, that this is really a small thing. We've blown it up so much in our mind that it's a mountain before us. And whatever is holding us back, it keeps us stuck there because we see a mountain. It's really a molehill, but we see a mountain and we can't get beyond it. It seems huge and impassable when in reality, with a little careful attention, we could step over what is just a molehill. But you know, sometimes we really do make mountains out of molehills, and we do it by the little things in our lives. One sin after another, that's not a big sin. It's just a little insignificant thing, and they pile up and pile up. One good thing after another, I'll do that tomorrow. It's not that important to do today. And over time, those missed opportunities and those little sins that we think are insignificant have piled up, one grain of sand at a time. And we, in fact, have created a mountain before us. We've dumped all those little things in front of us, and our path is blocked by them because it becomes this huge and impassable mountain. And we do, indeed, in those moments, feel stuck. And what do we do in those moments? Well, often we decide, now it's time to pray. Now it's time to seek God and cry out to Him to deliver us. Didn't He teach us that if we prayed in faith that we could move mountains, surely God can move this mountain from us? And so we pray and we fervently cry that God would move the mountain before us. And what do we discover? Much of the time, God doesn't move the mountain that is before us. Perhaps in some cases He does. I've seen some people that God poured out great grace and has removed the mountain that is before them, a mountain of their own making, and God delivered them out of it. But I would say that by and large, that is not the usual course of events and not usually how God interacts with us in such moments. Most of the time, when we find ourselves in those moments, most of the time the Lord directs us to move that mountain the same way that we created it, one step at a time, one shovel at a time, one swing of a pick at a time, little by little. Over the course of time, we need to remove the very thing that we have created. We have to take the small steps in the right direction, one after the other after the other. And in time, those small things build a tunnel through that mountain or dissipate that mountain. It goes away. The small good things accumulate in a good way, and they go a long way towards removing that mountain that is before us. We need to understand in the parable that the rich man had opportunity to experience grace and goodness each day. During his life, Lazarus was at his gate, and he ignored him. Before him was something that was a small, easy thing to do. By giving Lazarus something, the rich man could have done something good. It was a small thing. It was an insignificant thing to him. His wealth was vast. He could have given Lazarus something. It would have been but a crumb from his table. And it would have gone a long way in Lazarus' life, and the rich man wouldn't have even felt it. But the rich man refused. He did nothing but indulge himself because his heart was hard and closed. And thus, he shut out the grace of God's kingdom. We must understand that this parable, like all the parables, bring home great truth for us today, now. It's a reminder to us that when our heart is hard, nothing gets through. When our heart is hard, we become selfish and self-indulgent. And we stop noticing the small things. We don't notice the small stuff. We don't notice the suffering that is around us. We don't notice the poverty that might be in our neighborhood. We don't notice the pain that perhaps a member of our own family is going through. We don't notice because our heart has become hard. But our hearts, just as they can become hard, they can likewise become softened by grace. Our hearts respond to the living waters of grace. Our hearts can become tender by doing good. And the change doesn't have to happen because we don't do some great astronomical good thing. It happens because we do those simple, little good things that are available to us each day. When we pause and we give thanks to God, when we pursue repentance, when we do some kind gesture for someone, when we give to someone who is in need, these small good things open our hearts to grace. See, we need to understand that some of the small stuff really does matter. And being careless about the small stuff that matters can show us that our heart indeed is becoming hard. So let us not close our hearts. Let us not close our hearts when we come upon suffering. Let us not close our hearts to the needy. But let us learn to do what we can. Even if what we can do is small, let us do that small thing. Even a crumb falling from our table can go a long way beyond what we can imagine. Let us learn to take the small steps of doing good each day. And those small good things open our hearts to grace, and those small good things bestow grace on others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.